This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, many of us enjoy some time off work, and so just have a little bit more time in our own homes around this festive period. And particularly when it's chilly outside, this is the time when we'll all become a bit more aware of how well or badly insulated our own home is. And perhaps we've even got a few hours on our hands to actually take some simple steps to rectify any shortfalls. Because as the climate crisis deepens and our home heating bills get bigger, there has never been a better time to insulate your home and make it more energy efficient. Now, someone who was set to work on his home is local homeowner Tony Field. He comes from an engineering background and he's been using the problem-solving can-do approach that all engineers seem to have to find practical solutions to cold spots around his house. To help inform his actions, he borrowed one of the Sustainable St Albans thermal imaging cameras and has been using it to answer some questions he had about reducing the heat escaping from his 1950s built house. I spoke to Tony to hear about his experimentation and what we can all learn from it. Tony, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. Let's start with the loft. We're recommended to have 270mm of loft insulation, but you wanted to see if actually that really made a difference.
So my house has got a big extension on it, and in one side, the loft I had taken up to the 270mm. But on the other side, we've only got 100mm because it's also got a pile of boarding and a huge amount of rubbish, as most people have in their lofts. So I was thinking, you know, do I really have to empty the loft out, take all the boarding up to be able to put more stuff in there? So I wanted to see whether it was worthwhile. So I started scanning, looking at the ceilings inside the house, and there was a huge difference. I could see all of the rafters in the side that's got the 100mm insulation, and they were dark, obviously cold, because the cold is coming straight through the boarding and through the ceiling joists and straight onto the plaster. And so there's these great stripes of coldness, so to speak. I couldn't see a thing in the other side. So, I mean, it definitely was a major difference.
And are you now going to do that huge job of moving all that stuff, taking up those boards, putting in the recommended amount of insulation? Have you been inspired to do that?
Yes, I'll do it in January.
And your 100mm of insulation, that was about enough to go to the top of the rafters, but no further. Because I think for a lot of us, we kind of think that is the recommended amount. But actually, the amount that we need goes way higher than the rafters, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, 270mm, because I'm old, I mean, that's about 10 inches. It's almost a foot. Because I guess most people have 100mm. You know, I went down to Wickes and found that they were actually selling 170mm insulation to sit on the top of it. And you obviously put it at 90 degrees, so you try and cover up all of the channels and the slots where it wasn't good.
That's a good point. And also, as you say, going across the rafters rather than continuing down the same lines. Now, staying in the loft, you were also looking at your loft hatch as well. What did you discover there?
So both of my loft hatches are based on just a piece of plywood with some hinges on it. And on the one loft that I'd taken up to the 270mm, I'd also went and bought just a block of foam, which is this insulating stuff. It's got silver foil on both sides. And it's very easy to sort of cut with a knife or with a saw. And then I just used double-sided sticky tape and stuck that onto the back of one of the doors. And then got some sticky foam around the outside, some draft excluder foam. And then I wanted to see what the difference was. And when I looked at the image with all of that stuff on there, you know, the high-tech double-sided sticky tape, it was actually difficult to see in the thermal imager where the actual loft hatch was, because there was almost no difference. And yet in the other loft hatch, oh my word, it's, you know, there's a 4-degree difference. So the wood is just not insulating at all. It's a rubbish insulator for heat, which I didn't realise. I thought wood was all right.
Indeed. Well, that's good to know, because I have to be honest, I don't think my loft hatch is insulated. It sounds to be something that I need to be thinking about. Now, moving down the house a little bit, you were wondering about windows.
So some of my windows have actually got condensation in the middle of them. So the seal has gone. It's blown. Now, when I started to look on the internet, I was wondering, you know, whether or not that would mean that there's no point in having the double glazing. It's just not doing anything for you. I was getting all sorts of answers, but they seem to coalesce around. It depends on whether they're new units and are filled with argon or they've just got air in them. But anyway, what I did was went and looked and got on one picture the image of one pane which hasn't blown and next to it a pane that has blown, and did it from both the inside and the outside, and I could see no difference. And that's backing up that my panes have been in there for 20 years. So they're the air-filled ones. And although it's blown, it's got a bit of condensation in there, it's still only air. So it still works as well as it ever did. So that I'm not going to go and spend a few hundred quid replacing all of these blown window sections.
Although you could perhaps at some point replace those sealed units with the argon-filled units, which might give you that additional insulation.
That I will do. The other thing, actually, if anybody does decide to borrow the camera, when you're looking from the outside with a thermal camera, if you're not fairly close to the height of the window, if you're pointing the camera up, the window reflects and will show you, in effect, the temperature of the sky, which is at minus whatever. So you get a false reading. So just get up a little set of steps or a chair so you're almost level with the window, and then it reflects back to the camera what it's actually emitting.
I would never have known that. So let's move on to another area that can lose a lot of heat, and that's walls. Now, you did a bit of investigation around cavity walls. Tell us what you looked at there.
Well, again, I used the fact that part of my house is newer. It's only 20 years old. So the walls have all got cavity wall insulation in them. The main original part of the house is 1950s and has just got an air gap there. There's no cavity wall insulation in there. And so before I filled it in, because it seemed like a sensible thing to actually do anyway, and it wasn't that expensive, I went and got the thermal camera and pointed it at the house so that in one image I've got both walls to see whether I could see any difference. And oh yes, there is a big deal of difference between the walls. And you're thinking the size of the wall on your house, and that may only be half a degree or a degree more, but that's a massive amount of heat that's piling out of there. So that was actually done at the end of November. So hopefully in the future that will be sorted out, and I will go back and see if I can borrow the camera again just to prove that the job has been done correctly.
Yeah, and really shows that if you've got that cavity wall, it's really worth investing in a bit of insulation there. So finally, let's look at doors. A fairly simple one here. What did you do with the doors in your house?
Well, I was just wandering around, really, going to look, and I could see some spots alongside the doors, mainly due to the fact that my front door and back door are old and need replacing, but that will have to wait for a little while yet. So I have just put some draft excluder in there. But I was also quite disappointed. The back door is, you know, it's a proper outdoor unit designed to be outdoors, and it's got a double glazed window pane in it. But the wood is very thin. So you see the pattern of how they've carved the wood. The heat is piling out of that door. So again, you know, it's a question of changing that. The other thing, actually, just coming back to the windows, there was something else that I spotted when I was outside and just looking around at the house, was that underneath my bay window at the back, there was a huge hot spot. And I thought originally whether or not this was the radiator coming through from the inside through the double skin wall and doing it. But I couldn't see it on any of the other areas where I've got radiators up against the walls. But it's obviously dark when you're doing this because you're doing it at night when it's nice and cold. You know, you need a minimum of 10 degrees difference between the inside temperature and the outside temperature to see these things with a thermal camera. So I looked underneath the next day in the daylight, expecting to perhaps find all of the beading has gone and there's big gaps everywhere and so on. There wasn't. There was no gaps. It's all the mastic is still in perfect order. What it was, that that bay window is built out with a piece of wood and a piece of wood on top on the inside, and that's it. So there's no insulation. And the heat is just piling out through that bay window at the bottom of it, you know, because it's not one where the brickwork goes around. The brickwork is straight along on the house. The bay window just protrudes out, and the heat is just piling out of the bottom there. Unfortunately, I've got three of those windows, so that's not good news.
Is there anything you can do about that, Tony?
Well, what I'm going to try and do is I'm going to get some insulating block. I'll see if I can get something around 20-30 mil and stick that on, and I will then see whether or not that makes a difference.
Well, fingers crossed it does. Tony, it sounds like you have really taken a really logical and systematic approach to insulation around your house, and I really hope it's made a difference and is going to be bringing those bills down for you. Thank you so much for telling us about that. And if, like Tony, you'd like to borrow a thermal imaging camera from Sustainable St Albans so that you too know where to focus your insulating efforts, I'll pop a link into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Now, it might surprise you to know that Helen Byrne, chair of Sir Optimus International St Albans and District Branch, also wants you to think about how you can make your home more energy efficient and sustainable. And her group are running an online event to inspire you and help get you started. They've invited local TED Talk star and author of A Beginner's Guide to Eco-Renovation, Judith Leary-Joyce, to talk at their online event entitled The Why and How of Making Your Home Efficient and Sustainable. I spoke to Helen and I started by asking why Sir Optimus International, a global women's organisation which inspires actions to transform the lives of women and girls around the world, is running an event about home energy and insulation.
Essentially because as a women's service organisation, we cover the whole agenda that relates to women and girls, from violence against women and equality, right the way through to the environment. Because the environment and climate change are vital to everybody at this point in time, as we're only too aware. But the reason that it's particularly important to us as Sir Optimus, focused on transforming the lives of women and girls, is that women and girls are disproportionately affected by the climate crisis and by the situation of the environment. And not only that across the world, but also women have a major contribution to make to finding solutions to the climate crisis and to other environmental challenges and to implementing those solutions. So more often than not, women don't get invited to be involved in the decision making, and some of the solutions which are possible don't get put forward because they aren't there. So we're about wanting to make sure that the environment works for everybody. But in doing that, it makes a major difference to the lives of women and girls.
That is a brilliant point. I love that. Now, you've got friends of the show, local eco retrofit expert Judith Leary-Joyce, speaking at your event coming up. Can you tell us what she's going to be covering?
Of course, as a group of women, we've been working ourselves on trying to reduce our carbon footprint and encourage others to do the same. So we've been having a variety of speakers who can tell us what the challenges are that we should be thinking about and how we should in practice be able to go about solving them. And it's in that run that we've invited Judith to come and talk to us about reducing home emissions. 21% of the emissions in the UK are down to what we emit from our homes. So if all of us can make a difference to that, then we will make a major difference to the planet. So some of us are interested in finding out the beginnings of it, of how you can reduce your energy bills right the way through to, we have had members who completely renovated their homes, and some of us are looking at doing some building changes like that. And Judith, whose lovely book, Beginner's Guide to Eco-Renovation, is just exactly what we wanted to hear from. So some practical tips, some idea about what the challenges are and some of the things we should think about, and some practical suggestions about how to go and solve them on the way to that.
Now, the event is online. Is anybody invited to this?
It's open to anybody who wants to join us. The chances are the majority of the audience will be female, but it's not restricted to women only. When we have speakers like this, one of the things that we are doing is not only finding out for ourselves, but also providing the opportunity for Judith to get her voice out to a wider group of people. So anybody who wants to come along is very welcome to. If you want to book to join, we've got an Eventbrite page, and in the process of booking, we'll invite you to make a donation if you wish to Friends of the Earth.
Now, it sounds like this could be useful to quite a lot of people. Any particular group this is aimed at?
I think essentially it's going to be of interest to anybody who's living in a house. The focus, obviously, of Judith's book is for anybody who is thinking about doing major building developments and how they can reduce their emissions in the process. However, Judith also has a leaflet, which is an online leaflet about reducing your energy costs. And so I know that we will have members who will want to know about simple things around reducing energy costs. So in a sense, it depends on the audience. We are expecting Judith will tell us a little bit about what the environmental challenges are that she's tackling, and some practical things about the building renovation process. But there'll be an opportunity for questions. So if there are things that people want to ask beyond what she has talked about, then there'll be an opportunity for people to ask. The Zoom talk is on Monday, the 22nd of January, from 7:30 to 9 p.m. in the evening.
Helen, thank you so much for telling us about that. You can find out more about the Soroptimists and book your place for Judith Leary Joyce's talk on the SGBI St Albans website. I hope you're enjoying a lovely festive season, and I'll be back with you at the same time next week. But until then, thank you for listening.